Want a chance to win £250 in vouchers? All you have to do is fill out the Ballpark's listener survey. It takes just 15 minutes. The Ballpark podcast is celebrating our 10th anniversary in 2026. And after more than 130 episodes covering U.S. politics, we want to hear from you to shape our next decade. So hit the link in the show notes for the survey details and prize draw terms and conditions. Share your thoughts, and you could be £250 better off.
Hello and welcome to The Ballpark, a podcast from the Phelan U.S. Center here at the London School of Economics. I'm Chris Gilson, Managing Editor of the Phelan U.S. Center's blog on U.S. politics and policy, USAP. In 2026, the United States marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. In this important year for the U.S., there are increasingly questions about its role in the world and how its citizens can shape its domestic and foreign policy. With this in mind, in the spring of 2026, the Phelan U.S. Center held an essay competition for LSE master's students. Students were asked to answer the following question prompt. What role can democratic citizenry play in shaping America's role in the world as it enters its 250th year? To answer this prompt, we asked students to write in the style of a USAP blog post, so less than 1,000 words and aimed at a wide audience. After submission, the essays were judged by a panel of Phelan U.S. Center staff and LSE academics. The essay competition winner was Alexander Minford, a student in the LSE's School of Public Policy. He wrote that the most important act of American global leadership may be winning a local primary. The two runners-up were Iman Sheikh from LSE's Department of Government, who wrote Finding Tocqueville and Times Square, How Lessons from America's Vibrant Civic Past Can Reinvigorate Its Citizenry in the Present. And Christina Simonova from LSE's Department of International Relations, who wrote the essay At 250, The World's Oldest Democracy is Autocratizing at a Global Cost that Its Citizens Have the Power to Stop. The winners and runners-up all had their essays published on our USAP blog. You can read them at blogs.lse.ac.uk/USAP blog. The winners and runners-up also attended an event in the UK Parliament in April 2026 when they presented and discussed their essays with members of the British American Parliamentary Group and other UK members of Parliament. In June 2026, I spoke to Alexander, Iman, and Christina about their experiences of the essay competition. So, thanks so much for joining me on The Ballpark today. Can you please introduce yourselves, where you're speaking from today, and say what your program is?
My name is Alexander Minford. I'm speaking from Toronto. So I'm on the dual Master of Public Administration, Master of Global Affairs program between the LSE and the University of Toronto's Monk School. So I just finished my first year at the LSE. I'm now in Toronto for the foreseeable future.
Hello, my name is Kristina Shimonova. I'm currently in London and I'm a master's student in the research track of international relations.
And I'm Iman Sheikh. I'm speaking from London today at home. This is where I live, where I'm from. And I just finished my master's in political behavior at LSE.
Thank you. Can you each talk about how you found out about and why you entered the US Center's master's student essay competition on America's role in the world?
So I actually named the Phelan Center in my personal statement. So this was over maybe a couple of years ago now. So it'd always been on my radar. And so I think I'd always wanted to engage pretty closely with the center. And so when a prompt came across my desk, it was definitely something that interested me. And I did my undergraduate dissertation on reactionary governance and US politics. So it was a really good fit. And I think it was a great decision.
So for me, I found out about the competition through my department's newsletter. And the topic sounded really interesting to me. It was something I was already thinking about. So the competition was really a great opportunity to actually sit down and work through my ideas properly. I also really like how it was oriented towards trying to find solutions, because I think it's quite easy to become a bit hopeless about the current situation in the US. But writing this essay allowed me to think more constructively about possibilities for the future.
I actually found out about it through the Instagram page, the Phelan Center's Instagram page. And then I remembered last year, actually, I had a friend, Coyote, who was the winner last year. I remembered him doing it and winning it. So I said, oh, you know, maybe I'll do it this year now that I have the time. Why I entered, I just thought that the prompt was really interesting. And it was something that I had touched on a bit in my first dissertation talking about democratic citizenship. So I thought, yeah, it's interesting. It's relevant. It was also my last year as a student. So I thought it would be a good way to engage with these sorts of opportunities while I can, while I'm still at LSE. So yeah, that's why I applied.
So the essay prompt for the master's essay competition this year was, what role can democratic citizenry play in shaping America's role in the world as it enters its 250th year? It'd be really great if you could all, starting with Alex, could you just give a brief summary of your essay and its argument, and maybe just kind of the top line points and what you were trying to achieve with it?
I think I was trying to work through a puzzle that I had playing in my head for a while, actually. You see these huge protest movements, and they very rarely convert into real tangible change. So I looked at the No Kings protests. They drew more than 7 million protesters, arguably more since, between October of last year and basically last month. But yet the administration's agenda has continued largely unimpeded. And so I wanted to kind of look at why basically that energy doesn't or does translate into power. And there were some pretty classical explanations, but I think mine was a bit different. I wanted to, in a federal system, look at kind of what undergirds that, which is basically local offices and how power runs through these, like local councils, state primaries, secretaries of state. And I found that 70% of those were uncontested in the 2024 election cycle. And so I think my argument is that the most meaningful act of democratic citizenship isn't marching in a protest, it's running.
So for me, my starting point was trying to understand what America's role in the world actually is right now. And I began from the fact that the US is autocratizing. Experts who have spent careers studying democratic backsliding in the US are saying this very openly. Trump has expanded executive power, hollowed out institutions, and replaced the language of pluralism with language of enemies. And this is not contained domestically. The US has the power to reshape the world, whether other countries consent to it or not. So to me, the role of democratic citizenry is not just domestic. It has to account for that reach. And my argument is that the resistance that needs to happen on multiple levels. So looking abroad, learning from recent events in South Korea or Brazil, building local opposition, which is a point I think all of our essays agreed on, which was really nice. And then pushing back against the fracturing of shared reality, because without shared facts, democratic participation really loses its foundation.
For me, I think the main aspect that I wanted to focus on was actually democratic citizenry and what that means, particularly in the US context. So some of the work in my first dissertation touched on the notion of citizenship and civic engagement. So I built a little bit out of this idea that was initially developed by Tocqueville when he went traveling around the US and then later expanded on by Robert Putnam, which basically says that the more civically engaged you are in a community and the stronger that those bonds are, the healthier your democracy is. So they took a very sort of holistic view of democratic citizenship. And I wanted to see in modern day America, how has that been playing out? And I mentioned how because of changes in the US political system, in the financial system, the role of the corporate lobby, the influence of various oligarchs and organizations, the complete denigration of public trust, that the sort of strength of those bonds and the strength of democratic citizenship has really been degraded over the years, but that it's not all doom and gloom. We can look at positives such as the recent election of Zoran Mamdani, which I touch on in the essay, as an instance of where really focusing on rebuilding that public trust at the grassroots level is a positive way in which we can start to re-engage the democratic citizenry going forward in the US, but I think also across the rest of the world as well.
I just wanted to add quickly that I really liked how we took quite different approaches to the prompt, but we all sort of found our way back together on certain issues and certain points, like Mamdani. And I thought that was something that was really valuable, not just having one winner, but multiple essays that were highlighted, because I definitely learned a lot by reading the other essays.
I think it also just goes to show that there's never one way to approach a problem. Everyone always comes at it through such a uniquely different lens because, I mean, all of us, yeah, okay, we go to the same university, but we've had totally different backgrounds, different educational experiences prior. So even the same question, we coalesced on some points, but we reached that through an iterative process that was totally different for each of us. So yeah, I totally agree, Alex. It was really interesting to read everyone else's.
And I also maybe, I thought not being able to use AI was quite refreshing, actually, because I'm sure we all use it to different extents, but not even be able to structure an argument with it meant that you're really having to break it back to before the days of generative AI, which was really nice to think about. It took me longer, definitely, to come to a structure and a conclusion that I liked. I don't think you'd want to look at the drafts before my final version, but it was fruitful.
So I kind of wanted to throw out a follow-up question to all of you. And, you know, you've talked about your backgrounds and sort of what fed into your essay. And I think a lot of people who are listening maybe are thinking about maybe entering, but they're also thinking, well, I'm not doing a degree in this exact topic, or I'm not doing a course on that. I'm not an expert on this topic. I don't really know a huge amount about it. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I should be entering, or if I even can. It'd be great to hear all your thoughts, because obviously you did enter and you were obviously successful. What was your thinking about in terms of entering, in terms of your own backgrounds and studies and that kind of thing? And did you ever think, actually, I'm not sure about this? And if you did, how did you overcome it?
I think it's interesting because all three of us have a different degree background. So none of us are from the same department. None of us did the same course. Really, I think the main thing, and I've been in this situation before, even like now applying for jobs, it's like, am I actually qualified enough? What I did wasn't exactly relevant. I think it's primarily, do you have a good idea? When you read the prompt, did you get some meaningful reaction from it? Did a little light bulb go off in your head? If that is yes, even if it's a small light bulb, that's still something worth holding on to. Because I think just by virtue of being at LSE, you are qualified. You obviously have intelligence and the ability to synthesize different information. So I don't think that perhaps not being directly like a politics student or an IR student is something that should deter people. If anything, having that different perspective and having that different experience actually, I think, strengthens what you can bring. Because I'm in the government department. I know, at least in my case, I've read the same perspective on a topic several times just in readings, because inevitably you do converge when you're in the same discipline. So I would say if the prompt is even vaguely interesting to you, if a little spark shot off in your head, it's always worth applying. Just sit down. You'll see how many ideas start to flow when you just think about it, and trust yourself, trust your instinct. And I think it's always better to take these opportunities by the hand and just do it, because they don't come very often.
I completely agree with Iman. I think some of the best, for example, the best economics that I read isn't written by economists, because it's so inaccessible to the everyday person that it's quite difficult to pass. So I think if you don't have a politics background, you have a lot to contribute as well. And I'm an interdisciplinarian by background. I have minimal politics training. I'm getting more of it now. But I wanted to approach the question from like a collective action kind of lens, which isn't the traditional answer to the prompt. And I found that was effective. And in fact, there are so many different ways to approach this problem, because it's inherently so interdisciplinary that I think the more rogue, the more out there you can go, I think sometimes that can be valuable.
Yeah, I really want to agree with all your points. I think it is so interesting to have different perspective, because we all have those different backgrounds. And for me, like, I was a bit scared actually of writing it, because I'm not used to writing papers that give policy recommendations and that are trying to be practical. So it was a challenge for me, and maybe I'm not the typical person that should be answering it then. But because I did, I gave a unique answer, and those answers that matched together. And I think we all had really interesting essays and interesting point of views to give.
So the center has a lot of resources now to support people to enter the essay competition, in terms of what would have been 9, and now it's 12 previous winners and runner-up essays. And we have an information session as well. Can you talk just quickly about how or if you use any of these resources and if they were useful to you?
I definitely attended the information session. I obviously browsed the USAP blog thoroughly for the kind of style that you were looking for. I also just talked about it with friends who entered the competition, peers in my cohorts. It was an iterative process. It took a lot of refining. So my first idea was that none of those words were on the page on the last final draft. So definitely attend. I also talked about it with my professors. I got coffee with Ali Cerrone, a professor of policy, and she gave me some tidbits that I hadn't thought about, considered. Yeah, be as wide as you can. Talk about it with people who aren't in a degree maybe, or aren't at the LSE. Talk about it with your parents and your friends. They'll force you to really look at things in a completely different way.
For me, looking at the resources that the US Center has put out, I think it's always helpful to have some sort of guidance, some sort of tips on what you're going to write. So the information session was really helpful. And I remember being very grateful that there's something like that, so that I'm not just looking at the question and trying to write. And then, as Alex said, like looking at the blog and looking what other people have written in the similar style, it was super nice that I had a sort of template that I could look at and try to emulate in my own writing.
I must confess, I did a much more last minute job, so I actually did not have much time to like talk to faculty or talk to professors. And I'm sure that next year there'll be a few people who will take a similar approach to me, which may not be the best one. But I did watch the recording of the information session. I went through the slides. I thought that was really, really useful, because I hadn't written anything that wasn't a piece of coursework in so long. So having that was super helpful. Reading the past essays from last year and the year before to get a sense of how they wrote it in that sort of more informal tone. And just, although I did do it last minute, I did just give myself time to actually really let the idea sit and sort of cogitate on it. And then I spoke to my dad and a friend of mine who aren't at LSE, obviously, and who didn't do my subject. So just getting their input was on a very nascent idea, but still getting that insight was super helpful. So even if you do take a more ad hoc, last minute approach like myself, it's still worth doing.
So how did you feel when you found out you were the winners and runners up in the competition?
Surprised, to be honest. I thought I found my little niche area and had been researching it for a while. And my dissertation was kind of in a cubby hole. And then to find out that my submission was winning was, I mean, I think I was quietly quite proud, if I'm going to be candid. And the opportunity to engage with MPs, I think, was the real prize. And to win with such great runners up. So the competition was quite fierce. So yeah, grateful, really, and proud.
Yeah, you said it so well. But I was really happy. I was in the library when I found out when you called me. So it really gave me motivation to like push through and stay there. But in general, it was really nice to see that the argument that I was making, that the recommendations I was putting forward were recognized by judges, was really nice.
I think I was chuffed. I was really happy. Also did not expect it at all, because it was one of those instances, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, where you submit a piece of work and you're like, not my best, like could have been a lot better. It was a pretty last minute job. I was kind of umming and ahhing about whether my idea was good enough, whether I should apply, just sort of classic things that I know we've all experienced, especially being at LSE where everyone's so good. And it was quite funny because when I did apply, I sent the piece to some of my friends and my dad before I found out about the results. My dad was like, oh, this is really good. But my friends were like, not your best work. We've seen you write better. So I was really not expecting anything. So then to actually have come runner up was really nice. And was also just, I guess, a reminder to myself that not every piece of work has to be like an essay that's heavily referenced and super academic. Sometimes you can just write your thoughts well, which is its own skill. And I think we, being in this academic bubble, you do forget that that is a skill of its own. It was a really great experience, really chuffed. And it was a wonderful way to end the chapter at LSE. So very, very grateful.
Just briefly, maybe that to bounce off Iman's point, I got some friends to read it and they gave me some points. But the most valuable comments were made by my brother, who doesn't have a politics background at all, that he's not at university. So I made him kind of strip it down, and anything that he didn't understand, I was going to go back over and re-explain any tough definitions to pass, anything too academic. And I think that was valuable as well. Get it read by people who don't read this kind of stuff on a daily basis. And I think it forces you to really strip the argument down to make it a lot clearer.
Yes, especially because it's going on the blog. It's not actually just being marked by a professor. So that was something that while writing, and I'm sure you guys had the same experience, is keeping that in mind that it's not like an academic essay. It's something that's meant to be the general purpose. So that was definitely really, really helpful.
I just want to pick up on all those points. You know, we run the essay competition as a way of being a bit of a break from kind of a traditional course essay. And because we have the USAP blog that is well read internationally, we're giving folks an opportunity to publish on there. But it also does mean the judges are looking for articles that are much more geared towards the general public, that aren't overly academic. And your three essays absolutely achieved that. So my next question is, do you think the essay competition has been helpful or beneficial to you? And not just even being winner or runner-up, has the process of taking part and writing the essay, maybe writing in a slightly different format, has that been helpful at all?
I think that in terms of just being a good opportunity to sort of flex your brain in, like I was saying earlier, a non-academic way, it was really fun because the prompt was interesting. It was relevant. It was something that I think everyone with a baseline interest in politics has an opinion on. But then to really structure your thoughts in a way that you know, okay, this is not for an essay that's being marked. This is purely my own argument, my own opinion. That was a really nice change, as you said, Chris, from just writing essays that have been set and will be marked and go towards coursework. And just in general, I think that the opportunity itself was really amazing. So the process of writing it was a nice contrast. It was really beneficial to get that ability to sort of flex your brain in a non-academic way. And I think also just it's nice to realize that you can use your academic skills in a different context as well. I think sometimes when we're in, you know, the masters are really full on. So you're constantly doing work or you're constantly preparing for work. So you do kind of, I think, lose yourself and lose the rest of your interests while you're in the thick of it. So just realizing that, okay, I can actually do much more with the skills I have than just what's right in front of me was really, really helpful personally to me.
I completely agree. I think for me, I've been in school for a while now, and I think it's very easy to get stuck and wonder whether what you think and what you write actually matters. So stepping outside of that bubble and realizing that your work can reach people out of academia was super motivating and made me a lot more confident in my own writing and my own opinion.
I completely agree. I mean, I think for me, you couldn't have picked a more interesting prompt. So I got lucky. It's up my street. But I wouldn't have approached the question like I had because the format was so restrictive that it really did force me to strip out everything that honestly is superfluous. And then having won and then preparing for Parliament, that's what I think really made me test it again because there was a real audience involved. And I know we'll get onto that. So I won't elaborate too much more. But I think definitely that second step was what really made me have to think about it again.
So how did you all feel about having your work published to a wider audience on the Centre's USAP blog?
People had always told me, I did quite well in my undergrad dissertation, and people had always told me that you should get it published, you should try and get it published. And I never really got around to it. It was the end of my undergrad. So I think to be able to revisit the topic I first looked into with all the support and resources with the LSE, I think I jumped at that opportunity immediately, and to have it published and then read and be able to disseminate it so easily via a web link is really valuable. And it got brought up in job interviews that I've had since. So it shows that people do read it and people do care.
I agree. It's been really amazing. I want to go into research. So this is kind of an amazing first step and something to show. And my family's been so proud of me. They've been sharing it everywhere. And I think it's a really big achievement. And I'm very proud of myself and proud of all of us.
I echo everyone else completely. For me, I've always found there's nothing really more gratifying than having something that's like tangibly yours out there, because we produce so much work throughout school, throughout uni, that just ends up saved on our Google Drive and then we never look at it again and we forget about it. But having something out there that's actually got your name on it, that's in the world, that you produce yourself, it's an amazing feeling, especially when you know that that was just genuinely a good idea, lots of hard work, and then you put something out there and it's yours. And now people can read it and give their opinion, and it might lead to another opportunity down the line. I think that's such a nice feeling. So I'm really, really grateful to the Phelan Centre for providing that opportunity in the first place.
A question for you. Have you filled out the Ballpark survey yet? It's just 15 minutes, helps us get ready for our 10th anniversary, and if you're lucky, you might win £250 in vouchers.
I want to move on now to the session in Parliament. So the Phelan US Centre took the three of you to a meeting with members of the British American Parliamentary Group, and Alex was able to present his essay to that group, and then there was a kind of wider discussion about all the three essays. Can you just talk about your experience of presenting your essays in Parliament and talking to MPs about America's role in the world? And I'm really interested to know how you felt before and how you felt during the session, and any kind of reflections you've had after it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I wasn't nervous. I was, and I felt prepared. We'd done some practice sessions, Chris, with yourself and the rest of the team, which was really helpful. And to have to translate an argument that's inherently about America for Americans to what does this mean for British parliamentarians? I think that process, I think it helped to bring it back to a context that I know equally well, the UK. And then to have it tested and pushed back on from MPs, I expected some of the questions that they had, but not quite the way that they asked them. Very broad, very odyssey questions that could have required a whole another essay competition that they were asking. So I kind of argued that US credibility comes ultimately from domestic institutions and the health of those institutions. So British parliamentarians should really keep a closer eye on what's going on at the local level. And I don't just mean the governors. I mean, even further down from that, because that's where these big groups and these big trends and movements ultimately derive some of that, most of their power. And I think that argument, I hope it landed. It seemed to.
I'm sure it landed. It was amazing. Your presentation was great. It was an amazing experience. I'm so grateful to have done it. As similar to Alex, when I was preparing for it, I was really nervous. I was trying to think of how to apply in the UK context, what applies, what doesn't. And I think quite a bit we ended up talking about that sort of fracturing of the shared reality, the misinformation, how to connect with voters, which is a universal reality. But overall, the experience itself, like we got to see the PMQs, we got to see behind the scenes, and then the presentation itself was just incredible. And as students, to talk with people who actually make policy, who have read our essays, taken our arguments and recommendations seriously, and have that conversation on a sort of equal level was super exciting. I learned so much from it. And yeah, I'm so grateful to the LSU Centre and to the British American Parliamentary Group for making it happen.
I think, Christina, you raised a really good point, which is I think it was one of the first experiences where you were taken seriously as like an individual, like a researcher who presented a piece of work, not just a student, because a lot of the times where you do have engagement with MPs or any sort of senior level politician or businessman or whoever, if you're doing an event at university, you are always sort of in the subordinate position in a way. You're the student. So this was a really nice experience where they were actually engaging with the work that we did and asking so many great questions. I thought the experience itself was a bit surreal. I always find being in Westminster, seeing the PMQs from the speaker's private gallery was amazing. And then we were also lucky because we went to Parliament about 3 weeks before the local elections. So it was also interesting to apply everything that we were discussing in that context. I remember with Christine Jardine, the Lib Dem MP who was there, she was telling about how in Scotland they were thinking about whether or not to run hustings. So we all had a good conversation about how hustings, for example, would be a great way to sort of reinvigorate that democratic citizenry in the UK, because fundamentally a lot of the problems that we face are the same as in the US. So overall, I think it was a really fantastic, quite surreal experience, but a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. It's still worth doing.
The ability also to broaden my network to MPs is great. We took photos and that was lovely, but then also to get business cards. I've stayed in contact with the chair, Lord Fox, which is great. And again, yeah, to get some visibility and to get that kind of visibility, it is pretty surreal.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear about that experience going so well and enjoying it. And it sounds like you've taken some great experiences out of that. Has taking part in the essay competition given you any new perspectives on America's role in the world? And I know you've all talked a bit about kind of the UK experience as well too. And has it given you any perspectives on your experience as an LSE student or just as a student more generally?
I think that it's a very loaded question. And now that it's been a couple of months since we were in Parliament, it's given me some good time to reflect on some of the points that I mentioned. So about half of my essay was focused on Mamdani. And it's nice because he's now been in office for 6 months and we have enough evidence to give an initial assessment of how his time as mayor has gone. And I think it has reiterated a lot of the points that I mentioned in that he's got really good approval ratings. He's been very successful in getting the things done that he set out to do. And people like him, people trust him to do it. So I think it just reiterates that actually to rebuild that engagement, what's really crucial and something that I find personally frustrating when it's not done is that you need to, as a politician, know that trust is earned, not just assumed. So I think Mamdani and his success reiterates that actually in order to get your citizenship to a point where they have a voice, you need to actually show that you can trust them. You need to engage with them and rebuild those bonds that have been broken. I mentioned actually in my essay, I touched briefly on sort of political polarization. Since then, actually, my views have changed a little bit. I think it's relevant both to the US and broadly. I think political polarization has always been in society. It's just now we're at a stage where it's much more visible, mainly because of new media, social media, but it's always been there. Crucially, and this is, I think, relevant both in the US and in the UK and internationally, what has made it seem worse is the complete fracturing of those domestic bonds. We don't have strong local community bonds. People don't know who their neighbors are. We aren't engaged with our community. And the knock-on effect that this has is political participation is obviously lower, which means that our ability to influence domestic politics is lower, but also the sense of public trust is low. Audience costs are low. So if the government knows that the population is fractured, there's no agreement, then there's not a united front which they have any sort of accountability against. So it's been nice to let this essay, I think, sit for a couple of months before coming back and having this conversation, as it's shown how, I think, relevant a lot of these conversations are still and how they continue to change and take different forms, particularly on the aspect of the US and the role in the world. One thing I found specifically in my time at LSE is that it's important to focus beyond just the current president. I think the lack of or the weak democratic citizenry in the US has been a knock-on effect for several years. It's several, you know, the Iraq war, several things that have led to that denigration of public trust. And we can't just sort of blame Trump as the be-all, end-all problem. It's a systemic issue that we do need to rebuild regardless of who's in office. And this is a message that I would take across the world, that one person is not the whole problem. And just as a student, I think it's just reiterated that you should always take an opportunity if it's there. It doesn't matter if you don't think your essay is perfect. I didn't think mine was that good. But there's a lot of imposter syndrome that we deal with as students. So it's always better to just go for it. And nothing bad will happen if you at least try.
Hey man, I really liked your idea of kind of letting the essay breathe and revisiting it a bit later. Completely agree with that. I think two things for me came out of that kind of letting it breathe process. I think maybe probably most obviously the best work comes from stuff that you really care about. I think you're going to give more time to it. You're going to really let it think outside of the classroom. You're going to talk about it with your friends over a coffee. And it's also from those conversations that you can really tease out some insights that you wouldn't otherwise get. I think secondly, more structurally, you can't really separate foreign policy from domestic democracy. That's what I thought the prompt was really getting at, you know, America's role in the world and connecting that back. And that's what I really struggled with. I was like, how can I get this thing to a citizen in Wisconsin? And it's actually the same system and two different sides of the same coin, and one feeds the other. And they're not disconnected. In fact, they're incredibly connected. And that's what I think my essay really was about.
I agree with what you both said. There were such interesting points. I think maybe going not to necessarily my own essay, but the presentation and the discussion, I think it was super interesting to talk with policymakers and to hear from them how much they are trying to rebuild these connections. And that I think that as students, I don't really get to see what politicians think about all of this. And I think that it can be easy to get stuck and think, oh, they don't care about this. But they do care. They care so much and they're really trying to do something about it. I think it was super interesting to hear from them what their opinions are and for them to kind of see their worries echoed in our essays and have that sort of conversation. And then for the second part of the question, again, like I think it shifted a bit how I think about writing, as whatever as a student was for very academic, and now having to write for a policy audience and make recommendations that are actually actionable was quite a challenge. And then being taken seriously by the judges, by the MPs, really boosts your confidence and makes you realize that your perspective does have a place outside of the university.
One quick thing, if I could add quickly, was just that also, like I was saying earlier, we wrote this essay at a really interesting time, not just in the UK with the local elections, but generally the US is going through a bit of a change, I think, in its own place in the world, where we're moving away from the system of total US hegemony. And I think actually maybe the reason why we found when we spoke to these MPs that we were having such a fruitful conversation is perhaps because this era of like American exceptionalism is no longer necessarily the case. The problems that US citizens are facing are very similar to what we're facing here as well. So it was, I think the time that we're writing this in was particularly interesting. And I'm assuming by next year, it will be even more interesting and even more weird and wacky developments will have taken place. So I think we're very fortunate to live in this, fortunate and also slightly unfortunate. But I'd say in this case, fortunate to live in such an interesting time.
So has taking part in the essay competition opened up new opportunities for you, both academically and in terms of your careers?
It has. I think it's, in a way, it's made me braver. I can point to my own work and go, this is pretty good. Some people like it. It's been recognized. And so that's come up in job interviews, as I mentioned, which I think in part has helped land my current role. So it's given me some confidence, I think, in also to write publicly, which is part of the job I do now. Especially I work in government relations. So it's inherently, it's that kind of lens you're writing for policymakers, but in a language that's pretty non-academic. So yeah, I mean, I've used it to pitch other pieces of work. I can point to this and say, listen, maybe you should also read this, which I've done. So I've entered other essay competitions as a result. So yeah, I think it's given me some confidence.
Definitely, I agree about the confidence and then just having the experience of writing that policy-oriented essay, presenting and discussing with policymakers. I think that's a very unique experience and also a great skill. It taught me about how I want to present my argument, how to maybe interact with certain counterarguments, and that's very easy to carry across many different contexts.
Definitely. I think that really bouncing off of what both of you guys were saying, the confidence is a key thing, because I know, speaking from my own experience, being at university, you do lose sight of everything that you've done. It's very easy to forget all of your objectively impressive and good achievements because everyone's done the same thing or everyone's done the same thing, but better. So purely from that sort of imposter syndrome standpoint, it's nice to have that, you know, I put my work into something and it was a good achievement and people liked it and people read it and enjoyed it and I did well. So it's a really, I think, a very necessary confidence boost, especially in this time where it's a bit of a slump in terms of recruiting and it's exam season and everyone's feeling a bit low. I'm actually just starting my job search now properly. So it's nice to have a concrete example of, you know, many applications ask for examples of previous written work or like particularly interesting experiences that you've done. So it's really good to have a really nice example to bring up when those questions arise. I also think sort of academically, on a personal note, I would love to return to do a PhD at some point. But actually for me, this was a great experience to break out of that ivory tower of academia a little bit and to just do a piece of work that's, I think, equally as worthy of acknowledgement and credit, but just not like an academic essay, as I was mentioning earlier. So I'm sure that it will lead to new paths and new opportunities. I think in general, it's been a really great experience.
And just finally, is the competition a good opportunity for LSE students? What would you say to others considering entering the contest?
I think I'm going to speak for all three of us when I say enter. I think that's not a bold thing to say. But if you put it in context, it's a pretty low cost, high upsides kind of thing. You can write about something that you care about on your own terms with minimal oversight, and you have the chance to get it published, to go to Parliament, and to get exposure. So I would say pick a question if it comes up that you care about, but also that you're not sure about, that you can argue with people on, that you're halfway between two answers on. Because that's where I found the most benefit, is it helped clarify my own thought process on things. And I don't think you should go pick it because it sounds impressive. I think you should pick it because you're interested. And it kind of naturally flows from there. And that will show in the writing that you do. You put a bit of yourself into the work and that's what comes out.
I think what we talked about before, like even if you're not in a degree that's necessarily connected to the question, because you have that different background, you can have such an interesting answer. So I think it's worth doing whatever background, whatever field you're in. And what makes it unique is that you're really putting forward your own opinion, your own recommendation, something that we don't get to do very often as students. And as Alex said, like the research process is so interesting, and the essay isn't very long. It's not something that you need to spend months on. And because you're doing it on a topic that you really care about. So I really enjoyed writing it. And I think that others have to and will in the future. And then the presentation is just like an incredible experience. I think that you should just do it for the fact that you're able to experience that. So go for it. And even if it doesn't work out, like I remember thinking when I submitted my essay, who knows if it'll get recognized, but just the fact that I tried that different type of writing, that I have something now that I can show as a sample of writing that I'm quite proud of, I think it's worth doing just for that.
Yeah, I think both of you guys really just took the words out of my mouth there. I think especially at LSE, it's a very, in some ways, it's a very corporate-driven environment where it seems like everyone's just out here doing stuff for their CV embellishment and the LinkedIn embellishment. And I think actually breaking out of that and being like, no, I'm just going to do this because it's interesting and it's fulfilling personally to do something that is not necessarily super academic, but just fun, and I can use my brain in a different way. I think it's worth it just for that in and of itself. I think also personally for me, like this year in terms of academics was a bit up or down. There are a few essays that I submitted that I was really proud of, which didn't do as well as I wanted to. So then actually having this opportunity to write a piece of work, which had no strings attached to it, which was purely just out of interest, was really, really nice and a really good contrast from, I think, the depths of academia, which we can fall into. Some advice I'd say, I think if you're considering entering the contest, again, like I mentioned earlier, if you find the prompt interesting, if it elicits any sort of reaction, and the prompts in the last few years have been really, really good, so I'm sure they will, just go for it. Give yourself some time, like really sit with the idea, let it marinate, let those thoughts come to you. I think this is something that we, in this age, especially with AI, like it's very easy to just rush into something, but just actually think about it, let it come to you. Write out some ideas, maybe by hand, and just get those creative juices flowing. And then just write what interests you and have a good argument. Like there's no right answer and it's not being marked. So I think the lack of those constraints is actually quite liberating. So I would say definitely go for it. It's a great opportunity. I know that we're all really grateful that we did it.
So I just want to say, Alex, Christina, Iman, thank you so much for speaking to The Ballpark about your experiences with the Masters Essay Competition. It's been great to speak to all of you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Alexana Minford, Iman Sheikh, and Christina Simonova are LSE Master students. And that's it for this episode of The Ballpark. Thanks to Alexana Minford, Iman Sheikh, and Christina Simonova for joining me in this episode. For more information about the Phelan US Centre, you can go to www.lse.ac.uk/united-states. And keep an eye on our social media feeds for details about our next Master Students Essay Competition, which will be launching in early 2027. On X and Instagram, we're at LSE_US, and on Facebook, we're LSE United States. This extra inning was produced by Chris Gilson and Avan Fata. Our theme tune is by Ranger and the Rearrangers, a Seattle-based gypsy jazz band. You can look them up at rangerswings.com. To listen to all our previous episodes, just enter LSE Ballpark into your search engine of choice. You'll find us. We're free to listen to, and on lots of other podcasts, we're ad-free. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. You can email us any feedback at uscenter@lse.ac.uk, or you can send us a tweet at lse_us, and tell your friends about us. The content and opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect those of the Phelan US Centre or the London School of Economics. Thanks for listening.